This is Resurrection Day. Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 5. Matthew 28, starting in verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee." There's a question asked by Job in Job chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to read all the verses. We'll get to the question at the end. Job has these words recorded. "Man born of woman is a few days until full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow he does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months, and you have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man. At least there's a hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil, yet the scent of water will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. The man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As water disappears from the sea, or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If only you could hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger has passed. If only you could set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again?" That's the question Job asked. You saw all the surrounding verses, how it brought it to this point. Man dies. That's their understanding, just like other things die. But other things come back to life. Water, sun, everything helps. But it says here, he has a question at the end. Can a man live again? When he draws his last breath, when he dies from whatever happens, can a man live again? Well, the answer to that question, of course, because this being Resurrection Day, and we being Christians, we know the answer is yes. But just to confirm it, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, we have a man who did in fact die, Jesus Christ. He did in fact die. But we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, hundreds and hundreds of people saw him resurrected, saw him alive. So to answer Job's question, can a man live again? Yes, because of Jesus Christ. Today is called Resurrection Day. And in Matthew chapter 28 that we saw, Matthew 28, verse 6, it says there, "He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. He is not here, he has risen." Today's the day we celebrate as Resurrection Day. Some people refer to it as Easter. We call it Resurrection Day because we're celebrating the reason for it, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The context for Resurrection Day, you got to go back a couple days before to Good Friday. There on the cross, after being brutally beaten, almost beyond recognition, Jesus hung on that cross from 9 to at least 3, with darkness coming over the land from 12 to 3. He hung there. It's called Good Friday because he is the good sacrifice. That's the way I understand it. It's good because of his death we have hope. John referred to it in John chapter 1, verse 29. "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There he was in the Jordan River and he saw Jesus. And he says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's Good Friday because Jesus said on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30, "It is finished." There were seven sayings on the cross. As they list the order of them, The sixth one was, it is finished, with the seventh one being letting his spirit go back to the Father. But in John 19:30, it is finished. Well, what is it? The work that Jesus came to do. It is finished. And the phraseology of that, as you look in the original language, the phraseology of it, is it's not like it is finished, like I'm done and I don't have to do it anymore. It's a present perfect type tense where it continues to be finished. There's no one else that has to do this work. It's continued for all times. That His broken body, His shedding of His blood, His dying on the cross for us as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. No more sacrifice of lambs are necessary. It is finished. He has done the work. As we approach Sunday morning, we had to wait all day Saturday. Friday night, on into Saturday, Saturday night. Now Sunday morning is rolling around. But they had to wait because of that being the Passover. They couldn't work. They couldn't travel. Saturday is a day of wait. Sunday now, the women have come to put spices on Jesus. When they get there, they find the stone rolled away. They confront the angel confronts them and lets them know the fact that Jesus is in fact not in this tomb. His body has not been stolen. It has not been taken by some other source in some other way. Is in fact, He is not here. He has been raised from the dead. That's what the context is here. What are the facts that are presented? We've covered a few of them already. But what are the facts that are presented? You'll notice in Matthew chapter 28, verses 6 and 7, one of the first facts that He's told, He's not here. He is not here. You can look in this tomb all you want. You can stare at the grave clothes all you want. You can stare at this all you want. But He is not here. Well, that still means that's a fact. We need a second fact. And the second fact is given to us by the angels. He is risen. He is alive. This Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus that is the Christ, this Jesus the sacrificial lamb who died for us, He's alive. He's alive. And not only is that fact given to us, but a third fact is given to us. If the angel says, it's just as Jesus said. Just as He said. He's raised from the dead, just as He said. He had told them all throughout the Gospels, getting to this point in time, that something was going to happen. And they put it, trying to put it together. And finally, He cleared it up pretty much near the end and said, look, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer there, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. But they still didn't quite get it all together. He had told them what Jesus had said is in fact true. He is telling the truth. This is a fact. Verse 7 tells us, again, that the angel says, He is risen from the dead. Now go do what? Spread the word. Spread this as fact to others. Go witness this. Go tell somebody. Go share this. Go share it with your friends and neighbors and anybody else. Go tell the disciples. Go tell everybody. Tell especially, though, the disciples so that they can go eventually to Galilee to be ready for Him. Tell them He is risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, I mentioned earlier about the appearances. It says there, picking up in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance. Here's what he says is first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. And that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, He appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Jesus' resurrection is a fact. It can be attested to by all these witnesses. They will testify to the fact that they saw Jesus raised from the dead, walking around, doing the work that God had for Him to do. There was 40 days from the time that Jesus is crucified, from the time He raised from the dead until He ascends to heaven. 40 days. During that 40-day period, He makes all kinds of appearances. You might remember the fact that He appeared to the disciples in that room. They were eating or whatever, killing time, concerned about what's going on. All of a sudden, Jesus appears right there in the room with him. Had to startle all of them. Had to scare them to death in some ways, probably. But there he suddenly was, and they recognized him as the resurrected Lord. Thomas was not there that day. And a week later, Jesus appears to him again. Now, Thomas had told the other disciples, hey, look, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. You can tell me all you want that he's raised from the dead. I just don't believe it until I touch my fingers into the nail prints, until I touch the side that was the spear was thrust into. Until I touch them, I'm not going to believe it. Well, a week later, Jesus appears in the room with the disciples, and there Thomas is approached by Jesus and says, you want to see? You want to touch? He never had to do it. He recognized Jesus immediately, and he exclaimed those wonderful words, "My Lord and my God." Thomas testified. It's a fact. Jesus is raised from the dead. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus. As they were traveling, they were talking about all the events of that Good Friday and all that they had hoped for seemed to be lost. And as they were walking along, this man came up beside him and started walking with him. And as he walked with him and talked with him, he eventually took over the conversation and began to expound to them from Scriptures why all this had to take place. We're told later as they reached Emmaus that their hearts had been burning as they listened to this. It was just exciting. It was revealing to them how Jesus had to do what he had to do. And finally, when he broke bread, they recognized who Jesus was. They immediately, after Jesus left, they immediately went back to Jerusalem. At night, in the dark, they headed back to Jerusalem to tell the others. And they make the statement when they got there, it is true, the Lord is risen. So I'm proposing to you, I'm proposing to me, I understand Scriptures to teach that the fact that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, it is a fact. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is alive, just as he said he would be. How does that impact us? What meaning does that give to us as Christians? What meaning does it give to his church? Let me share with you some sentences, a paragraph or so of a book I wanted to share with you today that emphasizes the meaning and impact. The writer says, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the Christian faith. It is mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. It was the main point for each sermon in the book of Acts. Without it," that is the resurrection, "without it, there is no Christian faith." Paul said the resurrection is important to the believer for a number of reasons. He said that Christian preaching is empty if Jesus has not come back from the dead. He said the faith of the believer is worthless if Jesus is not risen because he is the object of the faith. In addition, he says Christ is not whom he claims he was. He would be considered to be a liar. The apostles are also liars for testifying to a resurrection that did not occur. Furthermore, there is no forgiveness of anybody's sin. Those who have died believing in Christ have no hope. If hope in Christ is limited to this life, Christians are to be pitied and above all people. This writer is telling us how important this was, how important Paul thought it was. Just to give you the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, picking up in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 12. "But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. How can some of you say there is no resurrection? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, the preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses," that's the word for liars, "about God. For we have testified about that God has raised Christ from the dead. But But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep are lost. If only for this life we have no hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Paul goes on to write, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Paul, writing in that Corinthian letter, told us how important it is to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and not believe it just some sort of, hey, I'm just going to accept it. No, there are facts to support it. All of the preaching and teaching that the apostles and the other witnesses of Jesus did in the Bible, all of, that is listed there is central to the fact that the central fact is that Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. Let me give you some examples. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, most of you recognize right off the bat, that is the day of Pentecost sermon by Peter. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24, as Peter is preaching, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this." This is verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to this. God of Nazareth was accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." And then verse 24. "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." He continues on in that sermon by quoting a passage of Scripture there. And he says here, "David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave.'" Talking about the Christ. "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of righteousness. You will fill me with joy in your presence." And then if you slide down in that same sermon to verse 31, he says there, "Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay." Peter emphasized on the day of Pentecost in his sermon at least three times the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead. If you turn over to chapter 4, verse 2 of the book of Acts, we have the Peter and John appeared before the Sanhedrin. Here the priests and the captain of the guard, temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. These leaders of Israel were greatly disturbed. Why? Because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And then one more from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Paul is traveling throughout the region there, and it talks of when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, three straight weeks, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Paul and Peter both emphasized in their teaching and preaching the fact that Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. And one last point, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, as he wrote to Timothy, he said, "Remember Jesus Christ." And what did he specifically want him to remember? Raised from the dead. He talks about descended from David, but do you remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead? The resurrection was so important that almost every sermon, every message, every letter revolved around the fact that Jesus is in fact raised from the dead. We need to understand, without the resurrection, if there was no resurrection, if Jesus came and just died, without a resurrection, there would be no Christianity. It would have died out. Without the resurrection, our faith would be futile. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, you remember that, what Paul said. It would be a waste of time if there's no resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 20, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and he is the first fruits." If there's fruits, and they're called first fruits, that means there's going to be second, third, and fourth fruits. Jesus Christ, raising from the dead, is first fruits. That means, however I leave this world, should the Lord tarry, and the day of my death comes, whether I'm in my bed, or whether it's an accident somewhere, whatever it may be, When I draw my last breath, I don't have to worry about anything because I will be with Jesus. He's the first fruits, and I'm part of the rest of the fruit that will be going forward to be with Jesus forever. Perhaps no one has said it this more eloquently than C.S. Lewis in his 1947 book entitled Miracles. He says here, the New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind. They emphasize that. This is a significant event in all the world. They emphasize that it's in the whole history of the universe. He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the very first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the King of David. The King of Death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation, a new chapter in cosmic history that has been opened. The meaning and impact of this resurrection is powerful. In Romans 1:4, we're told by the power of the resurrection, by the power of the one who raised him, he has authenticated, he has proved, he is beyond a shadow of doubt, he is saying, this is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15:17 lets us know, because of what he did by rising from the dead, we have the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38 talks about when we were baptized, our sins were remitted. In Acts 22:16, Paul's sins were washed away. Our sins have been taken away, and it would not happen if we did not have the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's also our living sovereign. In Revelation chapter 1, in verses 17 and 18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. Notice what the Lord says to John. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And behold, I hold the keys of death and Hades. Death has no dominion over us because of the work of the resurrection. The ultimate victory of Christianity over everything is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you read Revelation 5, verse 6, there you see the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And what is this slain Lamb doing? He's standing. In Revelation 5, 5, you see him portrayed as the Lion of Judah, all powerful. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, you see it emphasized about us triumphing. Let me turn there with you. Revelation 12, verse 11. Talking about all the saints, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. Christians have the ultimate victory because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One person has pointed out concerning the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He says about this, that the resurrection of Jesus is a foretaste and promise of God's commitment to redeem the world. He goes on to say that the resurrection of Jesus is a testimony to God's desire to redeem this broken world. Jesus is, in fact, raised from the dead. We started off with a question. If a man dies, will he live again? Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, the angel told the women, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. It's important that we understand the impact and all that the meaning of the resurrection has to our lives. Let me close with sharing this one passage of Scripture with you, just to show you how important all this is. In 1 Corinthians 15, going to verse 54, the latter part, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, he goes on to write, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, to get the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. Tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.